And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, spanning the entire northern half of this state. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I got to run to the text line real quick. We got some good ones. So John from Huntsville. John from Huntsville. First thing he does, he says, Phil, I'm in a much better mood today. I'm glad, John. He says, yesterday I was functioning on a lack of sleep thanks to the lack of voting results. I totally get it, John. But then he follows up and says, Boomer, you're going to want to know this. He goes, speaking of hump day, I think Joe Biden just wants us all to ride camels whenever we go to cut down on pollution. No. Okay. Paul from Athens, what did he say here? Let's see. He says, Boomer, this is for you, Boomer.
All right.
Paul from Athens says, Boomer, on that vote about that bet about you and I betting
the donuts?
The downloads, yeah. Yeah, the donut and push-ups. He said, Boomer, if you lose, then you and I will go to Krispy Kreme, get a dozen donuts and coffee.
Ooh.
And we'll just sit down and talk football and guns.
Oh, I like it. I like it, Paul.
Wow. And then he also, by the way, he had some great things to say about Veterans Day. Thank you there, Paul. We appreciate you. Thank you very much. JT from Lacey Springs, Boomer, for you again. He wants to know, is there a monetary commission for all these downloads as they increase?
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
No. No. And then he says, by the way, how many of those are Twitter bots? They're not Twitter bots.
No Twitter bots.
Okay. Ben from Decatur, let's see, Ben says, how is it that if they say there's 300,000 votes for two in a governor's race in total, but there's less than that in total for votes for, say, a state senator? So I vote for all on the ballot. Are people not voting for others on a ballot? Yes, that's exactly right, Ben. I mean, it's exactly what's happening is sometimes people get involved. They go, well, I know about governor, but I don't know who that state senator person is. I don't even know I like them. And so, yeah, you'll find people that will give – it's called there's the under-ballot and the over-ballot. And the under-ballot, if I'm mistaken, I could be wrong on this, but the under-ballot, I believe, is when you see the top of the ticket carry more weight in the final outcome than the down-ballot races did. And then the over-ballot is when you see just the opposite. It happens all the time, man. You get in there and, like, looking at those amendments. We had 10 amendments on the ballot this last week. I guarantee you there were some who got in there and said, I don't know what the Shelby County thing is on 8 and 9, but I'm going to vote yes on the rest of them and leave those blank. Okay. Well, that happens, and you know, for a variety of reasons. So there's your answer, Ben. Hope that helped. You want to text in, folks? The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448. Right. I'm in number one of the triple dipper. Leadership matters. Leadership does matter, but we're also going to talk about leadership matters, like things about leadership. And I'm talking about both Republican and Democrat. So after the shining day we had in the polls, after the red wave that turned into the red trickle, I mean, right now, we're still, by the way, the numbers are right now. Of course, it takes 51 to have a majority in the U.S. Senate. Right now, Republicans lead 49 to 48. I do suspect that we're going to wind up seeing it go 51 to 49, I believe, for Republicans. I think it's going to happen. But that's the narrowest of margins. I mean, think about it. If you have a U.S. senator, is that single vote, and that person, you know, God forbid, gets hit by a bus, all of a sudden you're back to 50-50 for any key votes that could come up, or for that matter, they may have to hold a special election and you don't know what you're going to get. You may have a lesser candidate, or for that matter, you might be in a state where the governor gets to a point, like in Alabama, the governor appoints the successor in the event of someone leaving office at a certain time. All right, there's the U.S. Senate, narrowest of margins. And then the U.S. House. Right now, currently, it's 209 Republican seats to 192. We are going to wind up seeing Republicans, I believe, get to 218. I think we're going to wind up getting to more like 225, 230. But when 218 is the majority, that's not a whole lot of bargaining room. What you got there at that point is, okay, we can make this happen, but we better all stay together. Can't have nobody defect. Can't have nobody die. Can't have nobody get ornery. Because you saw what happened when it came time to vote down the possibility of voting down Obamacare. One guy, John McCain, went up and gave his infamous thumbs down, and his vote killed the whole measure. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not so sure McConnell didn't know that was going to happen. I think McConnell staged it and then let it go, and John McCain was the guy who chose to be the fall guy. But, who, you know, whatever. We'll see. All said and done, leadership matters, and in the wake of those kind of results, you got to wonder, who's going to be in charge here on? Because neither side has much to claim. I mean, Biden's out there giving his speech yesterday, and if I had to sum it up, it's basically, hey, we didn't lose as much. Hey, we only lost a little bit. Well, that's a great speech. And then the Republicans are like, hey, we won some. You won some? Well, that, so if you're in charge of either side and your rallying cry is, we won a little, or we didn't lose as bad, that's not the kind of thing that says, pick me to be the leader again because I'll lead you to more mediocrity. Well, so here's a story on 1819 News. 1819 News, dated today, Mo Brooks. Mo Brooks blames Republican leaders for the lackluster midterm performance and praises DeSantis as the lone shining star. So yeah, Daniel Taylor at 1819 News wrote this story, says, Republicans went into the midterm election Tuesday hoping to take back Congress from Democrats in a red wave. When that didn't happen, many began speculating about what led to the low performance, but U.S. Representative Mo Brooks said the GOP has no one to blame but themselves. I agree. He says, quote, for more than two decades, all across America, GOP office holders have dismally failed to protect and promote moral values, border security, liberty and freedom, balanced budgets, family incomes, the public interest, not the special interest, free enterprise, and the like. In light of those failures, he said, no one should be surprised when more and more patriotic Americans decline to go vote or vote for GOP candidates based on their belief that those GOP candidates will similarly refuse to protect and promote America's foundational principles. So yeah, he called out moderate Republicans for staying in the middle and causing this kind of a, you know, lackluster performance. In his words again, Mo never wanted to mince words. I need to get Mo on the show again sometime soon. But Mo never wanted to mince words, says, being slightly less liberal or slightly less financially irresponsible than socialist Democrats does nothing for patriotic, freedom-loving Americans because the end game is the same. National insolvency and bankruptcy that risks an America it took our ancestors more than two centuries to build. Well, good on you, Mo. I appreciate that. But then he did go to say this, in terms of leadership in the party. He said there's one example, and that's in Florida. He said there's one 2022 GOP shining star, Florida's Ron DeSantis. Governor DeSantis is a fellow, now former, member of the House Freedom Caucus. He is proof that citizens will overwhelmingly support honest, conservative GOP candidates who actually mean the campaign promises they make. So let me point something out to you. If you're not familiar, up in D.C., it is very common to have a variety of what they call them caucuses. It's basically groups of congressmen or senators who band together because they have like-minded, you know, ways of doing things. And you have several of them. I'm trying to think of the names. I just went blank on a couple of the names. The Problem Solvers Caucus, which sounds great, but they're sort of like center-right. But then the House Freedom Caucus. Let me just suggest to you that if you're not familiar with the House Freedom Caucus and you are a right side ruffian, then you need to get familiar because those are going to wind up being the heroes who step in and go, stop that. Stop being centrist. Let's start doing some real stuff. And if you like Ron DeSantis, you need to know that when he was in Congress, he was a member of the Freedom Caucus. You're talking about guys like, Ron DeSantis, Mo Brooks, Andy Biggs, Chip Roy, just great guys, solid conservatives, fiscally responsible, keen to get in the mix and do stuff, holding their own leadership accountable. So yeah, in terms of leadership, if you're looking for leadership, look for the guys who get in the mix and do this stuff. And I'll just point out to you, get to know the House Freedom Caucus. They may not all be yours. And I believe, as a matter of fact, I do believe we have one member of Alabama's delegation who is currently in the Freedom Caucus, and that's my friend Congressman Barry Moore. I need to get Barry on the show too, again. But Barry Moore, very conservative when he and I served in the state legislature together. He's now in Congress serving as one of the more conservative members of the body, and I believe he is in the Freedom Caucus. So, yeah, there's that. So in terms of leadership, leadership matters. Stop and consider that as we move forward, running on the resume of mediocrity is not much of a winner. All right, and so on the Republican side, you have to look at it and go, wow, okay. So who's going to be in charge next time? Because 2 years from now, are we going to keep on going? Let's spend $200 million and get a little bit. I tell you what, right before we go to the break, do we have a caller on line one? Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan, what are you doing, man?
Well, listen, I need to say this because I'm learning a lot more about Ron DeSantis. If you ever look up his bio, it is a mile long, and it's very he's worthy to be a president, as far as I'm concerned. I agree. You know what? I'm telling you, I love the previous president. He opened our eyes to a lot of things. He made very prosperous for a lot of people, and made us more safe, more secure. I didn't like the rhetoric a little bit. You know, he counterpunches and says some things. So and I think a lot of people, Phil, voted because they didn't like the fact that the candidate was associated with the Trump organization. And I think they didn't vote for that person because of that. And I think that's not good for us going into 2 years from now, we go into a presidential election. But I think if I was a previous president, it would be a nice, good thing for him to do and the right thing to do. I really think he's done his service. He did really well and much appreciated. And there's a lot of people love him and along with me. But the thing is, the bigger picture is to get this country back. And I think Ron DeSantis hits every mark. And he is a good family man. He looked really good up on that stage with his family. And I thought, this guy's, and he don't take no crap either.
Yeah.
But he has a better way of approaching it verbally, so he doesn't really alienate a lot of voters. So I don't know about you, Phil, but I think our previous president really should say, you know what, I want to do this for the bigger picture and for our country. I think I'm going to full support behind Ron DeSantis. What do you think?
No, I think you're one of many, and I think I'm leaning that way as well. I love Trump's policies. I'm concerned that right now, if an election were to happen soon, that it would just be all about Trump. And all it would be the rhetoric and the rhetoric and the rhetoric, and we'd lose sight of the policies. We've got to get back to governing. And so I think that's a huge deal. And the other piece of this too is that DeSantis is not afraid to defend his own people. And one of the things that I've seen so often is that if you can be on again and off again with Trump, he'll cast you aside in a heartbeat. But then at the same time, I've watched multiple times when DeSantis had his own people getting lambasted by the press, and he stood up and spoke on their behalf, and he would not let them get picked on. And I thought that was leadership in itself.
Well, exactly. And you know what? There are people like him out there. They're just harder to find these days. And we have one with him. He's a gem. I really think he hits all the marks. And I don't see a lot of skeletons in his closet. He might not have any. But I'm telling you, I think we need to, and I hope and I pray, I'll start that my prayer list every night, that our previous president says, you know what, for the better of this country, I'm putting my backing behind Ron DeSantis. Every night I'll pray that prayer.
All right, man. Sounds good. Got to run to a break, brother. Appreciate you. Yeah, Wolverine Dan, good points. Boomer, take us to a break. I ran about a minute and a half long on that. We'll come back in a very short segment, but top of the hour, we'll keep moving, too. Leadership matters. That's what we're talking about. What's Biden saying? He gave a whole speech yesterday. Is he saying, hey, I recognize I probably just lost the majority. It might be slim, but I'll work with you. Not really. Not really. Leadership matters. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, we got a couple of texts here. Brian from Huntsville that says, hey, Wolverine Dan, we agree on so much. There you go. There's that. Chris from Priceville says, Trump's rhetoric needs to stop. He said, I voted for him twice and agreed with him on policies, but it's time to pass the torch. There's that. You want to text in, by the way, we'll take it. 833-687-4448. Kind of want to hear from y'all today, too. So as I'm going through this about leadership, understand that right now, the top of the Republican ticket, if you will, there's no ticket right now, but you know what I'm saying. The top of the Republican ticket is still Trump. Regardless of whether you like his stuff or not, he is still the biggest name in Republican politics. If he decides he's going to run for president, he's an automatic front runner for that very reason, just because he's a past president. He is still considered to be the guy who can, you know, endorse, even though, I'll be honest with you, the endorsements didn't always pan out this time. It wasn't like the Trump endorsement just meant good things for everybody. Look at Herschel Walker struggling right now. Look at Dr. Oz. So anyway, all I'm saying, though, is I want to hear from y'all. 833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone number, 833-687-4448. What do you think? Do you want Trump to stay in, or don't you? I love Trump policies. I get tired of Trump rhetoric. I love Trump policies. I get tired of Trump just, like, burning through people and just casting them aside. I mean, it was so useless the other day for him to start crowing about how he got more votes when he ran in Florida than we just saw in the state election for DeSantis. Well, I got news. That was a presidential, sir. There's always more votes in a presidential election than there are in a midterm, even though there was a governor's race on the ticket. Anyway, all that to say, what do y'all think? I'd love to hear from you. As for the ticket on the Democrat side, well, that's still President Biden. He's still the dude. Fox News, storyline dated yesterday. Biden vows nothing different in the next 2 years, despite the majority saying the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction. So President Biden gave a press conference yesterday, answered a bunch of questions. It was quite the press conference, apparently. And he said he plans on doing nothing differently in the next 2 years of his presidency. Wow. Biden was responding to a reporter's question asking what he plans to do in order to change the opinion of voters on the direction of the country as he considers a re-election bid for 2024. Hey, by the way, run him again, Democrats. Run him again. He can't hide in the basement this time. I mean, unless they declare a new pandemic. Stand by. But here's the quote. When he was asked that question by the reporter about what he was going to do different, his response was nothing, because they're just finding out what we're doing. Just finding out? We're just finding out. 2 years. We're just getting started. Okay. He asserted that the more they know about what we're doing, the more support there is. You talk about tone deaf. He says 61% of people surveyed in the Fox News voter analysis believe that things in the U.S. are headed in the wrong direction. 61%. Biden's comments come just after the midterm elections, which he says went well for Democrats. That's basically the, we didn't lose as bad. We only lost a little bit. Well, you know, wow. Second place, first loser. His quote, we had an election day yesterday. I think it was a good day for democracy. It was a good day for America. Oh, boy. Anyway, all right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of this when we get back. Y'all stay tuned.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. The local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We got a bunch of texts coming in that I'll be getting to here in just a minute. I asked the question, too, how do y'all feel at this point? Do you want Trump to stay at the top of the ticket, or do you think it's time for Trump to move on? I got some phone calls, too. Let me grab those real quick. Line one, Anthony from Woodville. That's up there in Jackson County, I believe. Anthony, how you doing?
Thank you, sir, for taking my telephone call.
Yes, sir.
And from my old retired A-10 weapons guy to a former Army officer, thank you, sir, for your service.
Yes, sir. Thank you for yours, too. I appreciate that.
And I would just like to say that I think that I supported Trump the last two times, and I think that Trump did a great job on the economic side. But I think that he never really learned the political part, and you know how dirty that gets, and also the constitutional part, too, about being a president. I'm like, it's a great thing, and I will certainly vote for him again. But I think that I think his time's passed. It would be nice to have someone else, a DeSantis type. I don't think DeSantis is going to run, but I think that if there was that type of guy like that, I would certainly be voting for the other guy. But you know what? If Trump's the guy, well, Trump's going to get my vote again because we need to turn this country around, and we got to go with what we have. And if he gets in there, that's how I feel about.
Yeah,
you know, for Trump.
No, that's well said, Anthony. I think the way you're saying it is the way a lot of folks feel. I mean, they'll vote for Trump again in the heartbeat if he's the guy on the ticket when it comes time to vote in the general election. But in a primary, an opportunity to find somebody who can do Trump policies without being Trump, I think a lot of folks are looking for that too. You're right.
Right, and the tweets and all never bothered me, but you know. I don't think that Ron DeSantis has attacked him at all. I have no idea why he's attacking Ron DeSantis, except that I think that he has a fear of him, and that's why. But like I said, the tweets never bothered me. But I think he's really, really angry about what took place in 2020. He still hasn't let that go, and I can understand that. You know, so we'll see. We'll see. And I was kind of disappointed in what was going on a couple of days ago, but it actually looks like it's improving for the Republicans. And, don't count for chickens, you know, before they hatch.
That's right.
And here we go. I'm optimistic
about
where we're going to be going.
Well, Anthony, thanks so much for the call, man. Glad to have folks up there in Jackson County listening to the show.
Thank you, sir, for taking my phone call, and you take care of yourself.
All right, you too, bud. Take care now. Line two, Ron from Tony. How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing well, Colonel. Hope you're doing well, and so is Boomer.
We're doing good here. Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
I got a couple of points for you.
All right.
First off, you talking about the store on the website.
Yeah.
I've got a quick question.
All right.
If I buy the Right Side socks,
yeah.
What am I going to put on my left foot?
Well, you'll just have to be the guy with two right feet. How about that?
Okay. But the more serious thing is, I've had this thought for a while, and you kind of brought it up about Trump running for election. I think Trump ought to run for president, and he ought to have Ron as his vice president.
Okay.
That way we can get 12 years out of Ron.
There's a thought. So here's my question. I mean, Trump's already fallen out with Mike Pence. Do you think Trump could stand to have Ron DeSantis waiting in the wings for him? You know, I think Trump would hire a soup tester at that point.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out a way to get 12 years from Ron.
I get it. I totally get it. It's a good point. That's a great point. Hey, Ron, thanks so much, man. And I hope you do enjoy Right Side Sox. All right. You have a great day. Good calls. Hey, on the text line, it's totally blown up. Jenny from Decatur says, I have totally agreed with President Trump's policies. He literally had to fight every step of the way in order to get anything accomplished. I appreciate him, but his arrogance will not endear him to any of those that despised him when he was in the office. I personally don't appreciate his arrogance, would vote for him over a Democrat any day. But I really wish he would step back and hand the baton to DeSantis. And then she goes on from there. But yeah, I think she's saying something that a lot of people are saying. And we'll see how it plays out, Jenny. There's a text on there for you, Boomer, from Brian from Huntsville. You see that towards the top? I'll let you grab that one. Jay from Birmingham. Trump would be okay as far as our candidate for president again, but what he needs is, he says he needs a pacifier to keep his mouth busy. Okay, we'll see. Where is it? Joe Biden. This is John from Huntsville. What's John saying? I'm trying to think where he is. Starts off, it says, if Joe Biden runs for president again, the only thing that'll be different is he'll be doing it from a nursing home. Wow. Oh, I read that before I read that. Okay. This is, we got a new one. Tom from Tanner is on the text line, and appreciate you being on board, Tom. Long text, so I'll go back and read it here in a minute, make sure I know what we're saying. Lynn from Scottsboro, where is it? No labels. Have you heard of this movement? If not, check it out. I've never heard of that movement, so I will check it out. And it says, love the program. So appreciate that, Lynn. Thanks very much. Moonpie from Madison. Moonpie says, I did not vote for Trump the first time. Then I was very pleasantly surprised by the things he did once in office, so I voted for him the second time. But I am now ready for the adult version of Trump, so I hope DeSantis runs so that I can vote for him next time. Oh, there you go. Where am I right now? I got an angry Amanda. I got to read that before I read it out loud because I got to make sure I know what she's saying. Allie from Athens chimes in. Says, while I fully understand the sentiment with regards to Governor Ron DeSantis being in the ascendancy, I still have a feeling that there is a job for Trump to do that only Trump can do. The rhetoric and the hubris are not attractive, but sometimes you need a Samson to pull things down on the Philistines, period. Don't pay any attention to that last period. That was a Siri being Siri. she was voice texting and apparently said, that happens to me all the time. Why does that? Like, sometimes I'll quote punctuation marks and, Allie, I get it. By the way, so the worst one, I've had several of those texting moments, voice texting. I voice text all the time. Boomer, do you voice text?
I don't do it as often as my wife does. And
it's
then,
scary.
Like, she voice texts, and then she sits there and takes longer to edit the text.
No, that takes longer.
That's just my view.
I do get irritated when I voice text and look down and go, oh, shoot, and I have to go back and correct the whole thing.
Or when I'm talking in the background and Siri or yours picks up.
I'm going to chase a rabbit here for a minute, all right? So two stories that I think I've shared before, but I was literally texting a new employee one time. We had already gone through the interview process. She had accepted the job. I was with some other folks in a car, and so I texted her to let her know, hey, glad to have you on the team. Look forward to you starting this next Monday, and I'll see you then. And I'll see you then. Thanks, comma, Phil. Hit send. Look down and realize it said, thanks, comma, Phil the heat. And I'm like, whoa, oh, no. That's I'm texting great. Her immediately going, I do not call myself Phil the Heat. I do not speak about myself in the third person. That was voice text. I don't know what happened.
Phil the Heat.
Yeah, Phil the Heat. She still brings that up once in a while. She still works here.
Thanks for listening to Right Side Radio. This is Phil the Heat.
Phil the Heat. Guarantee somebody's going to say something about that now. But the worst one, though, man, I was talking to a guy I was consulting with about this show, right? And we're just talking, and we're going back and forth, and we're talking about the syndication that hadn't happened yet, but it's happened now. And he was giving me some ideas, and I think I voice texted back. I said, I like your thinking. And right before I hit send, I realized it said, I like your thong. And I was like, oh, wow, stop. Be having to turn in my man card. I mean, like, what has happened? Where did that even thong? How did the thong get in there? So anyway, yeah, I changed that one real quick. So now I proof check my voice text.
Good job.
Yeah. Scary.
Maybe I'll start voice texting. We'll see what happens.
John from Brownsboro on the text line says, Donald Trump Jr. for president. And wait, am I reading that right? Donald Trump Jr. president, all the executive, none of the rhetoric. DeSantis as vice president to handle legislation and the agenda. Okay, I get it. I see it. All right, tell you what, Boomer, go ahead and take us to the break right now. We'll do that. It's about a minute ahead of our usual schedule. That'll give me a chance to come right back and jump back into my dipper because somehow you got me telling stories. It's your fault.
It's my fault, guys. My bad, guys. We'll get them back on the dippers.
Because I didn't chase that rabbit. No, not me. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. By the way, I'm not going to chase the rabbit anymore except to read the text that came in. Jeremy from Huntsville says, speaking of chasing rabbits, he said, I sent a lovely bit of poetry once intended for my wife to my boss. He said it was really sweet, but he did not feel that way about me.
That's really good.
That's awesome. Paul from Athens just sent in and said, diesel fumes. That's highly uncalled for, Paul. This is not necessary. Thank you very much. Daryl from Huntsville says, that just had me rolling. We need to do a voice text blooper segment. Totally agree. Hey, listen, back on task. Serious business. This is a serious show. We got conservative policy issues we got to talk about. But I am in number one of the triple dipper still, and we're calling it Leadership Matters. So it was a story on National Review. Here we are talking about, should Trump stay on top of the ticket? It's way early, y'all. I get it. Although we've had experience with Trump's personality, so we know where he is. And I get it. If I were him, I would still be burnt about what happened in 2020. I'm burnt as a voter. But he went through the fire for 4 years, and it still is. I mean, it's like, can you imagine anyone being treated with more disdain, disrespect? And yet he's there doing things that actually made the country stronger, and we know it. Well, nonetheless, the question becomes, can somebody else do it without having his baggage? That's what we're looking at. I don't know. Question still to be resolved. Story on National Review dated yesterday. There's a guy named Tim Anderson. He's a Virginia state legislator, and he wrote on Facebook, and National Review decided to pick it up and talk about it, wrote on Facebook that it's time for the Republican Party to move on from Donald Trump. That's interesting. Made more interesting by the fact that Tim Anderson is not a never-Trumper. Tim Anderson is apparently not a knee-jerk kind of never-Trump guy. He's literally considered one of the most, you know, conservative members of the Virginia, what do they call that? Not their legislature, House of Delegates. He's been considered by the press a hardline supporter of what they call the big lie and a far-right extremist. And when a guy says when a guy like that says it's time to move on, you got to wonder, But what about the Democrat side, man? So a minute ago we were talking about Biden says, I don't see any need to change. Why should I? I only lost by a little bit. Okay. Fox News has a story, though, about Pelosi. What's going to happen with Pelosi? This is dated today. Pelosi in the driver's seat if she wants to stay as the top Dem in the House after strong midterms. See, here's another thing we lost. We lost the opportunity to just crush Pelosi and make sure she didn't want, nor did anyone want her to have that job anymore. She has been the leader of the Democrat Party in the House now for, 20 years? So House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says could parlay Democrats' strong electoral performance during the midterm elections into another term atop the conference, party strategists and political experts say. I mean, heck, she's only 80 years old. Why not? Speaker Pelosi is in the driver's seat when it comes to her future and the future of the Democrat House caucus, given the incredible turn of events last night, said Democrat strategist and former Biden 2020 surrogate Kevin Walling. Suck up. Anyway, amid expectations of a red wave, Democrats outperformed the consensus in the House. As of Wednesday afternoon, Fox News Decision Desk had not officially called control of the chamber, but if Republicans do take control, it'll likely be a much smaller majority than anticipated. This result for Democrats under her leadership, which bucks historical trends, plus combined with recent hints that she might actually stay after all, could mean she stays around as the minority leader. And they point out, though, that that's going to wind up roiling the complex shadow race to replace her as the top House Democrat. One of the top leaders is considered to be Representative Adam Schiff. Oh, man. Get you some Adam Schiff as your leader. laying the groundwork. Russia, 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 laying the groundwork for his leadership bid. The aide also said that, that told us about Adam Schiff, said that House Democrat Caucus Chair Hakeem Jeffries from New York also appears to be pursuing the opportunity to replace her. So, yep, the knives are out. Nancy Pelosi needs to watch her back, but she apparently has the ability to stay, according to some pundits. We'll see. But what about Republican leadership? How about that? Where do we go with Republican leadership? Kevin McCarthy is right now considered to be the next guy in line to be Speaker of the House. Okay. Story on CNN, dated yesterday. Kevin McCarthy moves quickly to secure a potential speakership as hard right group weighs a long shot challenge. The hard right group is the Freedom Caucus I told you about a while ago. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy is moving swiftly to lock down the votes to claim the speaker's gavel as a hard right faction of his conference discusses whether to mount a long shot challenge to complicate his bid and force concessions in the process. McCarthy privately spoke to his closest advisors and confidants in a Wednesday morning phone call just hours after his party appeared on track to take the House but fell short of their bullish expectations. The California Republican tapped a group of members to be on his whip team that will help him secure the 218 votes necessary to win the speakership in January. So, yeah, that's what they're going to have to do. They vote for leadership. And what happens is with a slim majority, a caucus like the Freedom Caucus has more strength. They have more clout within their own party. If you have a large majority and they don't all include a bunch of House Freedom Caucus guys, then or ladies for that matter, like Lauren Boebert, then you're gonna wind up seeing less strength in terms of what they can get accomplished. But in a slim majority, right now, we're being told that a source familiar with the House Freedom Caucus deliberations told CNN on Wednesday morning that there are around two dozen current and incoming members who are willing to vote against McCarthy if he does not offer them concessions. They're actively discussing putting up a nominal challenger to face McCarthy in next week's leadership elections in an effort to force the GOP leader to give them more influence in how the House operates. What would that mean? What would they want? What kind of leadership would the House Freedom Caucus want? If they can't get the speaker's position, then what do they want to do? Well, here's a piece later in the same article. Among their demands, making it easier for individual members to call for a vote ousting a sitting speaker. In other words, they want to know if leadership's looking feckless, if we're getting nothing done, that we have a way to get rid of you. That's a novel idea. The same source also said the Freedom Caucus wants more representation on the panel that makes selections on committee assignments. In other words, hey, how about you stop giving all the moderates the choice positions? Some of us on the conservative right, we want to know that we can get into a position of leadership. Thank you very much. And so they want to be on the assignments committee. They're also calling on GOP leaders to commit to slowing down the legislative process to give them more time to review non-controversial bills. You mean they want to read them first? You mean we want to actually not do like the we'll vote on it to find out what's in it thing? No, they want to actually read the bills? I love the Freedom Caucus. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show covers so much ground. We are down south of Birmingham up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, blanketing the entire northern half of the state, and just proud of it. Thank you all for making this show what it is. Hey, I got to tell you, so John from Huntsville just texted in. He said, Phil, I think Ivanka Trump should run for president with Donald Trump as her vice. That's interesting. By the way, Ivanka Trump is super sharp. Have you ever heard her give a speech? I mean, she's a savvy individual. What do we got here? Arondon, this is, we don't have a name on this one, so I'm reading a no-name text. By the way, if you're the one who sent this text in, we need to know your name and where you're from. But he says, he or she says, a Rondon ticket is the only way. If these two titans of the conservative Republican Party are really for America and the American people, they would unite. I think it'd be a guaranteed 4-year Trump presidency followed by 8 years of, and I assume that was going to be Ron. That's exactly what we heard a while ago about having 12 years of Ron that way. Hey, jumping back in, finishing up this segment that we're in right now, this whole thing about leadership, understand this, too. One of the things that frustrates several people, kind of bothers me, and I get why he's doing it, because he's keeping his powder dry because he's going to have a lot of expenses of his own. And I don't know for a fact, but I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that Trump is allowed to pay legal fees out of his campaign account if there's something that involves his campaign in a court battle. But a story on Daily Caller caught my attention this morning in terms of leadership. That former President Donald Trump grew a war chest of well over $90 million through this last election cycle. He wasn't running. He wasn't on the ticket. He was raising money. He raised over $90 million. He only gave 20 of it to help GOP Senate races. So he's out there endorsing, but he's not putting the money on the candidacies. And that's the lifeblood of political campaigns, is the funds necessary to buy the ads, do the mailers, pay the staff. And Republican Senator Ted Cruz noted that Trump had spent very little of the funds to aid Republicans in key races, The Hill reported. Quote, Trump's got $100 million, and he's spending almost none of it to support these candidates, Cruz said. That's interesting to me. Going back, last thing I'll say on this section, and then I'm going to switch dippers. Just in midstream, I'm going to switch dippers. Bam, like that. Daily Wire, with regards to Kevin McCarthy being the leader of the Republicans in the House, points out that the Freedom Caucus, again, is sort of thinking they're going to block it or try to at least work against it, or at least try to make it so that they get some concessions out of it. To give you an idea of this Freedom Caucus, so the Freedom Caucus is having its new member orientation coming up. Guest speaker at the Freedom Caucus new member orientation, Tucker Carlson. That tells me something, that they're bringing in people like Tucker Carlson to speak to their members. You know, that's going to be a rousing speech. Interesting to watch, interesting to see how leadership matters. Both parties right now, in my opinion, the leadership of both parties just need to get on with life, and Mitch McConnell needs to find a new gig. Kevin McCarthy, I don't know, man, you may have earned a hard row to get to get up there to the speakership now because of the tepid outcomes. Donald Trump, I'm frustrated that you made a lot of noise, but you spent very little money by comparison to what you raised. And then on top of that, you've got on the Democrat side, President Biden saying, oh, we only lost by a little bit, so I'm not going to make any changes at all. And Nancy Pelosi, allegedly, is going to get to keep her job for only losing a little. I don't get it. How about meritocracy? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? What we have instead is cacistocracy. It's cacistocracy, Boomer. Cacistocracy.
Cacistocracy.
Cacistocracy. Look up the definition. Starts with a K. Cacistocracy. A government that is led by the most incompetent of its citizens.
Yes.
Okay.